when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Jesus answered them, Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal. Then they said to him, What must we do to be doing the works of God? Jesus answered them, This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. So they said to him, Then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate manna in the wilderness, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus then said to them, Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of heaven is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They said to him, Sir, give us this bread always. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. And we'll leave our reading there. Let's ask for God's help as we come to look at his word as I lead us in a prayer. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we give thanks for the opportunity we have this lunchtime to meet here. We ask for anyone here and also any known to us at the moment who have been struggling either through maybe illness or perhaps through redundancy and seeking work. Lord, as we pray for those with physical needs, we also pray that you might come to us and might meet our spiritual needs as well. And so we ask for your help as we come to look at this particular portion of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. One series that some of you may have seen on television is the TV series which is up on the screen there, which is Who Do You Think You Are? This is a series that traces the family trees of different celebrities and maybe clears up dilemmas about their identity. There are lots of episodes in it, and so you can see programs on the likes of Jerry Springer or Patsy Kensett or Stephen Fry, amongst others. However, my all-time favourite episode is the episode on Boris Johnson. And I think my favourite moment of all in the episode on him is when he discovers that, unbeknown to him, he is actually related to all the royal family trees in Europe and even to King George II of England as well. And of course, Boris being Boris, he can scarcely contain his happiness and his delight at discovering this. Of course, he always suspected that he had royal blood all along. However, for the next few weeks, I would like us to be asking the same question that that program does, but to seek to apply it to Jesus. Who does Jesus think he is? I wonder what results, perhaps, we would get if we asked him, Who do you think you are? And in order to help us answer this, I would like us to look at some of the I am sayings that are recorded for us in John's Gospel in the New Testament. You might be here and you might already know some of them. I am the Good Shepherd. I am the light of the world. I am the way, the truth, and the life. However, today we're going to be looking at the very first of them, which is I am the bread of life. And we can see that in John chapter 6 and verse 35 in the passage that we read together, where we read Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Now, no matter where we are at this lunchtime, whether you are here and you've maybe been a Christian for a long while, perhaps you've been a Christian for many, many years, or even if you are right at the start of things, maybe you wouldn't even call yourself a Christian at all, and you may be looking into things for the first time. No matter who we are, our greatest need is to get to know Jesus better, to know more about him. And it's been my prayer as I've been preparing this series that this series on the I Am sayings in John's Gospel will help us to do that. So then I've put 3 points there on your sheets about Jesus being the bread of life. And the first one is the sign of the bread of life. So it's helpful to start off by noting the context in which Jesus gives us this saying about being the bread of life. And so in the section prior to this, in John chapter 6, we have a miracle which is known as the feeding of the 5,000. There was a large crowd that was following Jesus like a shoal of fish. Enough people, actually, to fill a small stadium. And Jesus, you might remember, feeds them all with 5 loaves and 2 fish, just a little bit more food than we normally have on the table over there. Everyone, of course, eats until they are satisfied, and then there are 12 baskets of scraps which are left over. This incident is actually the only one of Jesus' miracles which is recorded in all 4 of the Gospels that we have. It's recorded in Matthew, in Mark, in Luke, and in John. But it's only John who goes on to record what happens afterwards as well. So he tells how the people follow Jesus over to the other side of the lake. They don't understand who he is. They are seeking him, but they are seeking him, we discover, for the wrong reasons. And so Jesus rebukes them here in verse 26 in the passage that we read together. Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you." And then Jesus goes on to say that he is the food or the bread that endures to eternal life. And so he says in verse 35, "I am the bread of life." And so I wonder, do you see how the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 points towards Jesus' true identity? So Jesus provides physical bread in the feeding of the 5,000, and that points forwards to his identity as spiritual bread for us as well. In actual fact, throughout the whole of John's Gospel, the word that John consistently uses to describe Jesus' miracles is the word sign. And that's because Jesus' miracles are like road signs. They're like signposts. I mean, just imagine for a moment how difficult it would be if you were going on a journey and there were no signposts, if there were no road signs, or if there were no street names, maybe. In fact, I guess some of us may probably even get lost even when we do have road signs and things. Never mind if we actually didn't. But we rely on signs, don't we, to point us in the right direction. And that's exactly the same with Jesus and his miracles as well. So John records the feeding of the 5,000 as a sign that points us in the right direction. So if you are here this lunchtime and you are seeking Jesus, then this miracle is a signpost for you that points to his true identity and who he really is, which is that he is the bread of life. However, what does it actually mean then to say that Jesus is the bread of life? What does Jesus mean when he says that? And so we need to also move on and see the substance of the bread of life as well. If you go over to Waitrose or maybe Tesco's perhaps, and on any loaf of bread, you will always get the nutritional information in a panel on the side where they tell you exactly what's in it and how much wheat or flour or preservatives or hopefully no E numbers. So what does it mean when Jesus says that he is the bread of life? What is the substance of his claim? And here we need to look a little bit more closely at the text. I think one of the problems of a metaphor like bread is that we need to do a little bit of work to see what it actually means in this particular context. And so I've put some headings there on your sheet that will hopefully help us. And the first thing that I think Jesus is saying is that he is necessary for life. I guess each culture has its own staples that make up its diet. So in some cultures, it's maybe potatoes. In other cultures, it's maybe rice. In other cultures, it's maybe hamburgers. But in all cultures, there is a food that is the staple and main food that is necessary to sustain life. And in the culture of Jesus' day, even more so than in our own culture, that staple food was bread. So here Jesus is saying that he is necessary for spiritual life. Just as bread is necessary for physical life, so Jesus is saying that he is necessary for spiritual life. If you have him, then you have life. If you do not have Jesus, then you do not have life in the way that God intended. He is the bread of life. Then Jesus is also saying here that he is the true bread who comes down from heaven. Part of the Old Testament background to this story is the story of God providing the manna, which was the bread that came down from heaven when the children of Israel were crossing through the wilderness on their way out of Egypt in the Exodus story. We can see this in verse 32 and 33. There Jesus says to the crowds, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." So Jesus is telling us where he originates, where he comes from. He says the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. He says that he came from heaven. Jesus might have been born in Bethlehem. He might have grown up and been brought up in Nazareth. He might have spent some time ministering in Jerusalem. But ultimately, he was from heaven. And this is a really big theme in this particular chapter of John's Gospel, that Jesus is the one who dwells with the Father, the one who lived at the Father's side. Jesus is the one who knows the Father, but he has come down to earth from heaven in order to finish his Father's work and to do his will. That's who Jesus is. Then Jesus also says here that he is the bread that gives eternal life. Again, this is something that Jesus makes clear in the verses which we didn't read. So look with me there at verse 47 down to 51. And just listen for the number of references here, either to life or to not dying or to eternal life. Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." I'm sure you'd agree that eternal life is something that often has a very bad press. There's an episode of The Simpsons that I particularly like, when Maud Flanders almost dies in a hurricane. And as she reflects on it afterwards, she wipes her brow and says, "Phew, it was absolutely terrifying. I thought I was headed for the bliss of eternal paradise." And that's how many of us think. Eternal life is maybe not something that we're particularly looking forward to, maybe not something that we get particularly excited about, or even something maybe that's particularly appealing for us. And that's why we need to understand exactly what Jesus is saying here. So we need to understand that eternal life is not going to heaven when we die, but that's the way we often think of it, isn't it? Instead, it's participating in the life of God, the life that Jesus brought right now. It's entering life as God intended, life as it's supposed to be lived, real life. And this life starts right now when someone becomes a Christian and then continues forwards into the new heavens and the new earth and the new creation. That's what the Bible means by eternal life. If in this time of recession, somebody offered you a dream job in a project that they were maybe doing that really energized you, then you would probably jump at the chance and would take it. But that's exactly what Jesus is offering us here too, chance to be part of God's life, part of God's great project that he's doing in the world, and sharing in the life of the Father through the Son. Actually, the most energizing thing that there is. So who do you think Jesus is this lunchtime? I guess many people remember right back to their Sunday school days, and they remember this story of the feeding of the 5,000, and they think that Jesus was a miracle worker. This was actually the mistake that these crowds here made as well. They were following after Jesus, you remember he says, not because they were interested in who he was and paying attention to the miraculous sign which he had done, but rather because they had all had a free meal and they had full stomachs. Others, at the time, they said that Jesus was maybe a prophet, like the Muslims do today. But Jesus, when he says that he is the bread of life, he is claiming to be much, much more and far, far greater than either a miracle worker or a prophet. He is claiming to be the one who is necessary for life. He is claiming to be the one who has come from the Father. He is claiming to be the one who has come to bring eternal life to the world. Surely something which only God can do. He is claiming to be the one person in history who can satisfy the deepest human need. It's a claim that would be ludicrous on the lips of any other except Jesus Christ. So have you begun to grasp his true identity? Then all this leaves us with a final question, which is why? Why should we come to Jesus? Why should we come and eat of the bread of life? Why should we believe in him? And that leads us on to the final point on your sheets there, which is the satisfaction of the bread of life. And this, I think, brings us to one of the greatest promises in the whole of God's word, amazing promise which Jesus makes in the second half of verse 35. Jesus says to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. You occasionally see shops or businesses advertising themselves with the tagline, satisfaction guaranteed. And I guess it's possible to do that if you're selling a TV or a removal business or whatever. But here, Jesus offers complete satisfaction to meet the deepest needs of whoever comes to him for life. It's one of those offers that's actually too good to be true, and we almost need to be pinching ourselves as we read John chapter 6, verse 35. Jesus invites the hungry and the thirsty to come to him and promises that they will never be hungry or thirsty ever again. It's incredible. In doing so, he's picking up on the great invitation that God gives in the Old Testament through a prophet called Isaiah. This is Isaiah 55, verses 1 and 2. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. It's an incredible invitation like the one which Jesus gives later on. I think this is a really timely word for many of us as well. One of the things that I think characterizes our culture is dissatisfaction. I think part of this is maybe due to advertising. Maybe, of course, the whole way that advertising works is that it kind of persuades us that what we have at the moment is not quite good enough, and what we really need is this amazing new thing which they just happen to be offering us. A recent survey by the Prince's Trust found that 1 in 10 teens thinks that life is basically meaningless, and a quarter of all those who they surveyed said that they thought they were more depressed and less satisfied as they got older and older. So I think we see spiritual hunger and lack of contentment and dissatisfaction all around us, maybe in the lives of our colleagues or our friends, maybe even in our own lives as well. Why do we crave relationships, and so many people put all their hopes in maybe a boyfriend or a girlfriend or spouse? Why do we work so hard at our jobs, perhaps trying to win the approval or the affirmation of other people, trying to fill that void inside with work? Why do so many people turn to drink or drugs or shopping or overeating as an escape? Is it not because we have this spiritual hunger? Is it not because we have this need for satisfaction inbuilt into us and we try and fill it wherever we can? But of course, the problem with all of those things is that not only are they idolatry, but they never satisfy either. They are like pouring your money into a purse with no holes in it that Isaiah talks about. And anyone who has done it, of course, knows. No matter how many people you sleep with, no matter how many degrees you have, no matter how well you slide up the greasy pole at work, no matter how much stuff, no matter how many possessions you have and holidays you go on, you can still wake up in the morning with that emptiness on the inside. You've eaten, but yet you're still hungry, aren't you? And those things can never fill us up because the only place, the only thing that can satisfy our hunger deep down is Jesus Christ. And so it's in this context that Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall not thirst. He is offering satisfaction guaranteed. Now, this is not to say, of course, that there is no room for continued dependence on Jesus day by day after we come to him. Of course, we need to be feeding on Jesus every day as Christians in order to grow in our relationship with him. But what this is saying is that when we come to him, that inner core hunger and thirst that we have in life, that will be satisfied. I think someone who knew this to be true was the singer Johnny Cash. If you read some of the biographical material on him, he was someone who says that he tried every drug that there was. He spent many years in several marriages of hard drinking and womanizing. But then later on in his career, he came to rediscover his Christian faith that he had been brought up with. He left his wild lifestyle behind and became living proof of what Jesus says here, that those who come to him will never hunger or thirst again. He had tried to quench his thirst, to satisfy his hunger in all kinds of places, but only ultimately came to find it satisfied in Christ. If we're honest here, even as Christians, we can sometimes end up hungering and thirsting for the wrong things. We might say that we are trusting in Jesus with our lips, but yet functionally we're trying to find our satisfaction in life somewhere else. Maybe in our work, maybe in our relationships, maybe in owning a larger house, perhaps more and more stuff, trying to build up our status or our reputation. And if that's so, we need to repent and come back to Christ today. Maybe an illustration of this whole principle will help. I'm sure you know what it's like. You hit about 3:30 in the afternoon. Maybe you've skipped lunch and you think you would like to take the edge off your appetite by eating something. So you reach maybe for the packet of crisps. You reach for the can of Coke. You reach for the packet of M&Ms maybe. And you look to that to try and satisfy your hunger. But of course, it won't, will it? That's only a snack. It's actually unhealthy too. Rather, what you need is a decent lunch, a decent meal that can really actually satisfy you deep down inside. But yeah, that's what many of us try and do in spiritual terms. We try and spiritual snack and look to spiritual snacks to actually satisfy our hunger. We try and satisfy our spiritual hunger in all the wrong places, and we make do with a diet of junk food, while all the while Christ is there standing and offering us to come and feed on him and be satisfied by him who is the bread of life. Only Christ can deal with our deepest needs for love, for security, for acceptance, for forgiveness. If you've got a grumbling stomach, then physical food will do. But if you have a grumbling attitude, or a sharp tongue, or an unforgiving heart, then you need Jesus. You need the bread of life. You need to come and feed on Christ himself and believe in him. And so two questions as we close. First of all, are you hungry this lunchtime? Now, it may be that you're somebody here and you're living the Christian life and you are already looking to Christ to satisfy your needs, in which case you need to keep on doing that and give thanks. But it may be that if you are honest, you know that you are spiritually hungry, and yet you have been trying to satisfy that appetite elsewhere. You've been snacking on junk food when you need to be coming to the bread of life. And if that's so, then Jesus invites you this lunchtime to repent and to turn away from things that don't ultimately satisfy and come to him instead, to believe in him, to feed on him, to digest him, to internalize him, and to make him your own. And then, do you know anyone else who is hungry? In a moment, we will all be returning to our offices and our workplaces. If people there were physically starving, then we would make sure that we gave them something to eat, wouldn't we? But the truth, of course, is that people there are starving. They are spiritually starving, and they are seeking to fill themselves up with all kinds of things that we know can never ultimately satisfy. However, we have the bread that can truly satisfy the bread of life, and therefore we can point people to him. We can offer people the promise of Psalm 34, verse 8, which says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good." As Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall not thirst." So let's claim that promise here this lunchtime. But if we come to feed on him, if you come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you'll never ever be hungry again. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we give thanks that you have promised to meet our deepest needs and have provided Jesus from heaven, the bread of life, to satisfy our hunger and fill us up. And we ask this lunchtime, Lord, that we would feed on him through faith. We ask too that we would be faithful in telling others where they can find the true bread, the bread who gives eternal life. Father, we ask that you would help us in our workplaces and with all the different demands of that are coming up this afternoon, and we ask that you keep us safe until next week. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.